Please rise and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning. Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, July 7th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
We have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Just still plugging away, preparing for the general election. The absentee request forms are on our website, on the state website. If anybody wants to call or request one, we'll mail one to them. We've had several calls. Got a news flash on the election website and our regular website to show the location of our tan drop box out there. We did get rid of the black one that's downstairs inside the handicap door, and we're only using the one outside now, so.
That's the only one, the one's outside, right?
Yep, that's the only one now available, is the one outside. So I put a couple of pictures in there of what it looks like and hopefully where it's located. Just as long as nobody tries to drop anything in the blue boxes, it goes in the tan box, that's for us.
Where's the blue box?
Mailboxes.
Oh.
We have.
Surely it'll find its way back here, postage due.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, depends on who drops it in there, so. That's all right now, it's just the election update, so.
Thanks, Terry. Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Like to remind the department heads, if they get a chance, to remind everyone in their departments, take the security assessment that I sent out there yesterday morning. Had about 40% take it so far. Gives us a better idea of what we need to kind of focus on in terms of the security aspect of everybody in the county, so.
Did that say it came from outside the county?
Yeah, it comes from a third-party vendor that we work with called Know Before.
Oh, I deleted mine. I looked at it and I thought, well, you mentioned having a security assessment, and I said this came from outside the county, so.
Yeah, the security assessment that we use, it's from a third-party company that's outside the county, so it would list as being from outside the county.
If you want to forward me another one, I'll take it.
All right.
I was being extra careful.
You might want to forward me one too, because it says outside the county, automatic deleted.
Okay.
How about you, Bob?
I couldn't get mine open.
Well, the board's batting a thousand.
I couldn't remember the password.
He's very secure then.
A finger tip.
Angie Bond, safety.
Good morning. I really don't have much for you guys today, so.
Okay.
Well, that's great.
That's good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
Yeah.
It's really important. You might want to reach out to us on the phone.
Well, don't send emails. I'm learning that.
We'd like to hear that answer from Carter once in a while.
Yeah, that won't happen. He just likes to talk. He likes to hear himself talk.
I see how this is going.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Well, I'm in a bad spot now. Yeah. Finished the mainline concrete on gear last week, so that's a good deal. Should be tying the last of the driveways together today, rock driveways, and a little bit of hand pour concrete to do tomorrow to connect the road up right at the end and in a driveway. It's got to get poured, and then they have some intakes they got to deal with. I'm sure that'll probably be into the following week, and then it's just a lot of backfilling and shaping up and some dirt work stuff, so shouldering in a few places. So they're in the home stretch, albeit it's gonna take a little bit of time. Upper Flint's closed, but coming along well. Got part of the pavement removed, but they got plenty more yet to do. There's a subdivision in the middle there that we're trying to stage around so that they can always have access one way or the other until we pour concrete. And the contractor's been good to work with on that, so. Yeah, other than that, pour the first bridge deck on Mediapolis Road tomorrow. Got moved back from today. So things are coming. There's still plenty of work left up there, though. They still have another bridge they got to form up and work on. So other than that, just moving along.
Thank you. Ken Heinemann, Community Service.
Good morning. Tomorrow's the SEAL Southeast Iowa
link region's meetings, and so our monthly meeting. There is no change agent meeting at 9 o'clock that we normally would have, but they will be having the children and the adult advisory are gonna just have one meeting together tomorrow, and Ryan's sending out invitations to that. So it's basically the adult advisory's meeting, and then anybody from the children's that wants to tag in, they can, so. But most people, there's a lot of people on vacation lately, so most people have not been responding to the emails that have been sent out by the management team. What else? I guess the governing board's meeting at the regular time at 1:30, that's gonna be a Zoom meeting, so.
I thought we're supposed to be, you could attend in person if you want.
You can, I heard yesterday that they'll only allow up to 10 people in that building, and so it wouldn't be enough. I would say probably the voting members could attend, but I would say hopefully everybody else will just Zoom in, because.
They got a bouncer?
I think Ryan's gonna be there, so, yeah, that should take care of it. So, yeah, that's about all I have.
Thank you, Ken. Clint Williams, Des Moines County Sheriff's Office.
Nothing really new at this point, just kind of plugging along as usual, so.
Thanks, Clint. Janelle Nally-Long with Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We just continue to be very busy, especially motor vehicle. I think we had well over 100 titles yesterday, and that's just titles. It doesn't take into consideration all the other transactions they do. Just a reminder that the suspension of penalties and interest for delayed property tax payments was extended through the governor proclamation through July 25th. Also, the code requirements for delinquent notices, notice of tax sale, the actual tax sale, that was suspended through July 25th as well. Motor vehicle registrations that were January 31st or later, those are suspended with the proclamation, and the requirement to transfer titles within 30 days is extended as well. So just continue to keep busy.
Thanks, Janelle. Mm-hmm. Jared Lasser, Land Use.
Good morning. Just getting busy with the ordinance updates, getting some progress there. One note that I believe that email had been sent around just to confirm that we had received word from the state that the governor had signed that legislation that involved the further amendment to the earlier amendment, which caused problems for us specifically in terms of where members of a zoning commission and board of adjustment could reside, which initially had limited only to people that live within the zoned area. But based on the changed wording, that would allow anybody in the unincorporated county to serve. Three of the three people that were affected by this on either of our two boards, two of those would still be eligible to serve based on that updated wording. So we're very grateful to the state representatives we worked with to get that update included in the legislation on such short notice. So happy that we're able to retain two members with a lot of experience and knowledge in the process. Apart from that, I don't have anything else other than agenda item.
Thanks, Sharon. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. Currently, our county is at 91 positive COVID cases and 80 have recovered. So we continue with our contact tracing. We've also started doing some serology testing for our critical infrastructure employees. So we're working on that and continue to do the screening at the courthouse.
See, last week they attributed an extra death to Des Moines County that they removed a couple days later. I didn't think that was ours.
Yeah, and the database continues to have some issues. I think it's you know, I think they've made some changes to our contact tracing to be able to, at one time, unless the system took a positive case out, the system would continue to count that. Now they're trying to have it after 28 days. If there's no activity that in that specific, like for a positive case, it will automatically drop off the database. I think what they're trying to do is bring the accuracy of the count, but hopefully it gets better.
How's the serology testing going? Just out of curiosity, are you seeing?
So far we've, well, usually I don't release anything, but we did public health staff and everyone was negative of that. Any public health staff that was interested, we started there to just kind of see how the process would flow and everyone who participated was negative, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We got a warning.
Rodney Bleesner, Des Moines County Maintenance.
Rodney Bleesner, Maintenance.
Rodney, are you there? His audio connection just dropped off for some reason, so I'll come back to him.
Yeah.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. So had a busy 4th of July weekend. Everything went pretty well, with the exception of, this is the second weekend in a row we've had an incident on the lake. The weekend before this last one, somebody drove a car into the lake at the boat ramp, intentionally. And then this past weekend, we had somebody capsize a canoe and needed rescued. And we both times worked with the sheriff's office and local volunteer fire department out of Mediapolis to deal with those. In light of these, we are going to, once we get our new park ranger on, he starts next week. We are going to, I'm gonna try to get with the sheriff's office and local fire departments to do some training and orientation to maybe improve our response to some of those. Our park ranger was clear up at the 4th pumping station when the call came out that they needed a boat. He managed to get from there onto the lake in 23 minutes, which is still pretty good considering he had to travel the vast majority of the county. But that's an awful long time if somebody's out on the lake, you know, waiting for somebody to come get them. And then they needed a big boat to do it. You can't do a rescue out of a canoe. So we're gonna work on that. And probably give those departments access to our buildings and our boats and stuff so that if something issue like that comes up, we can deal with it a little bit better in the future. Summer camps are going on. They started last week. We got camps going on again this week. We are finding that kids just will not social distance, no matter how hard we try. We get that. But it's tough because three out of the four staff that are helping with camps right now, staff and volunteers, live with high-risk individuals at home. And so I know they're feeling a little stressed from that. So we're constantly assessing that situation and gonna do what we can to deal with that as we go forward. We are awaiting guidance from the schools as to what school is going to look like going forward, as to whether or not we'll be doing in-school programs or field trips like we have in the past. It's kind of a new world order that we're living in right now, so we don't really know what that's going to look like, but our nature center staff is going to be coordinating with the school districts and the teachers to figure out what that might look like going forward. I'll remind everybody that the boat ramp up at the 4th pumping station is closing. Access to the lake will be closed. The levee district is getting ready to do a FEMA project to replace the guards over the intake for the pump station up there. And so they're gonna have to close down that lower area so there won't be any access to the lake, probably at least until September. We don't know how long that project will go. It's a FEMA project. You know how construction projects can be, but right now it's scheduled to go through, I think, the first week of September, you know, depending on weather and stuff. So just want to remind everybody that, you know, the campground will still be open. You just won't have access to the lake via the boat ramp anymore. Our FEMA contractors should be starting on our boat ramps again this week, getting down to Sullivan Slough and finishing the rock down there, and then moving to the other two at Tama and Hawkeye Dolby. We went out and looked at them yesterday. The river's down enough they can get to them, and barring another bump up in the river, they should be able to get in and knock those out in a week or so. And along with that, we're gonna try to get some docks out as well. Again, we'll just have to watch the river real close. It's trickling down right now, and as long as it continues to do so, we'll keep moving forward with improving access to the river. So that is it for this week.
Couple things, Chris, just being nosy. Sure. The intentional driving of the car into the lake, and now the boat capsizing, I'm assuming that wasn't intentional?
Correct.
Are we having, I was gonna ask the county attorney, she sent me an email earlier this week about they've changed a law at the state. But don't we have an ordinance? When they first opened Big Hollow, I believe people were sinking beer bottles in the lake.
Yeah.
Do we still have a problem with that?
No. Actually, so the ordinance regards our beach, and when we first opened the lake, we didn't really have the rules in place banning alcohol from the beach, and it was kind of a free-for-all that first year. The county passed that ordinance that bans alcohol on the beach and the beach parking lot area, and we cracked down those first couple years. And since then, we've had very little problem on the beach. You know, every now and then we'll find somebody that walked right past the sign, we'll have a cooler down there. But, you know, we don't have the problems like we had in the past where people would drag picnic tables out in the water, you know, throwing beer bottles and stuff like that. We really don't. The park's really kind of established itself as a very family-friendly destination. Our staff and the people that come out there really won't tolerate any funny business for the most part. You know, because most everybody's out there with their kids and stuff. And so we don't have much problem on the beach. This incident with the car, they actually had come from out of the park, a different part of the county. I don't know the whole story there, but you know, obviously there was some sort of issue beyond just, you know, it wasn't an accident for sure. I don't really know what happened, but I know the person was taken to the hospital for you know, evaluation. But he, you know, he was fine. He walked away from it.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask about that is I was gonna ask you, but anyway, so that's fine. I was just curious. So that's working out well, that no drinking on the beach ordinance. That's good.
Yes, yeah, that works out really well. Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Yep, thank you.
I'll circle back here to Rodney. Rodney Bleasner, maintenance.
Rodney Bleasner, maintenance.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Switched from speakerphone to the handset there and hung up on you.
No problem.
We're just really busy. Got a lot of stuff going on yet, but nothing new to add this morning.
Thanks, Rodney. Thank
Jackie you. Meyer, clerk of court.
Jackie Meyer, clerk of court.
Good morning, everyone. we're just busy as usual, just trying to get back to things as normal as the best we can, and get caught up from when our office was closed, but really nothing new to report.
Good. Quick question for you. Is the chief judge in Des Moines County right now?
Let me check 1 second. She was yesterday, so let me look here real quick. Yes, she will be here available in the morning, correct. Yep, in Des Moines County.
Okay, she does here, not for like a week at a time, and just off and on as needed?
Well, they have been limiting travel, so, and during this pandemic, we do a lot of things remotely, so I can't say it's always gonna be like this, because they rotate in and out, you know, pursuant to the schedule, but they basically, the judges have been staying in their home counties during the pandemic, but I don't know how much longer that's gonna remain. But she is here more than normal, you know.
Okay, I was gonna give her a call. Thank you.
Oh, sure, no problem.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning, everyone. Pretty much status quo for us right now. The Supreme Court's Commission on Jury Trials did issue their report today. So, Tom, I've actually forwarded a copy of that to you. It mentions cooperation with the County Board of Supervisors and things that they would like to see happen in the courthouses prior to starting jury trials. Obviously, if you've been upstairs on the third floor during a jury trial, it can get a bit congested. So, these are their recommendations for the things that could be done. It may be worth, at some point in the near future, having a work session to discuss exactly how we're going to put all of these people in a very small hallway before we put them in the courtroom. Other than that, just plodding through and getting ready for jury trials.
Okay, thank you. Did the Supreme Court, is there any chance they'd let anybody open up early if they met the requirements?
No, jury trials will not begin before July or September 14th.
Okay. You need to explain incentives to them.
I think they're just very, very clear on that. Just part of that is because of the way they issued their original order. I do know bench trials are going to be going on this month, and so that will be a good test for how we're going to handle all of these people in fairly small areas at a time. But no, my understanding is that the jury trials will not take place before September.
Okay, thank you. One more thing is, you'd sent me an email earlier, a few days ago, and I was going to ask you about it. I know you're busy, didn't want to bother you, and the board can, we can discuss it a little bit. There's a new law that changes penalties that would affect
yes.
county ordinances. What can you give us the 2 minute tour of that?
Yeah, basically, Senate File 457 was signed into law by Governor Reynolds on July 25th. Basically, what it focused on was changing the fine structure. And so fines have been changed significantly for both simple misdemeanors all the way through Class C felonies, and the scheduled fines have changed significantly as well. In lieu of raising all the fines, it appears that they have also lowered the general surcharge. They've renamed it for one thing. It's no longer a criminal penalty surcharge. It's a criminal services surcharge. It's been reduced from 35% to 15%. So my guess is when we're looking at the fine changes, it's going to be a wash. There have also been some additional surcharges that are added for those who are convicted of very specific offenses, such as human trafficking, sexual abuse, and domestic abuse. There's also a new surcharge for criminal mischief and theft if the property in question is considered agricultural property. The defendant would be assessed a new surcharge. As far as the ordinances, I would have to refresh my recollection as to what they say, but one of the things that the board may want to consider, if there's anything independent, such as an ordinance that just doesn't exist under state law, but they treat it as a simple misdemeanor, those need to be more specific in what the fine amounts are going to be. If it's just an incorporation of state code, I think you're fine. It's just some of those that we have that are a little bit more specific to the county. You might want to take a look at those and make sure that our fine structure is parallel to that of the state.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
Lisa Hazel, Des Moines County Recorder.
Lisa Hazel, Des Moines County Recorder.
Good morning, how are you?
We're good, how are you?
Not too bad. We have our part-time Renee Wellborn. She started this week and she's picked right up, and we've been keeping busy and really don't have anything new to report.
Thank
and
you, Lisa.
By the way, I like your pink shirt.
Thank you, Lisa.
Last one I have on here is Zach James. I don't know if he has anything to let.
I think it was just attending, unless he
okay.
has something specific.
That's all I have then.
Okay, thank you.
I have nothing new to add.
Just checking up on Jared. Thanks, Zach. the reason I asked Lisa about that is, and I asked Chris about that, Is that the only ordinance I've had that I've been, was concerned about, is that how the things were out of Big Hollow? It sounds like, well, that's working well, but we might want to have a work session with the county attorney sometimes when she's got time to just look, so that I don't want to raise any fines. It's supposed to be a deterrent, you know, for people not to do it, as long as they're not doing out in Big Hollow, but look and see that we aren't doing anything that violates that new Senate File 457. Just to, Lisa, are you still there?
She is, just a second. Hold on, she's muted.
I am.
Okay. When you'd said that they changed the percentage, you know, for that service fee, would that be anything that would affect any of our ordinances?
No, we don't. No, the surcharge wouldn't. That's a state surcharge.
Okay. Thank you. So, do you guys want to discuss raising those fines, or?
If we see a need to, but like, say our four-wheeler side-by-side ordinances, you know, have we even had a rest?
Not, certainly not very many, if you have. I don't
know. Yeah, we've had relatively no problems with people violating that. It's,
I don't think it'd be okay unless we start having a problem, then we could stick it to them.
Yeah, you could break, because Des Moines County's not using it as a revenue.
No.
For revenue, it's just a deterrent so people don't go out and do some of that stuff. So if, I would say if we do have any problems, we can discuss it.
If the sheriff department or conservation or county attorney, they should know, lest we worry about the county road picking up junk along the road.
We got Brian for that. He's free on weekends.
And evenings.
Okay. Thank you. I think we're pretty much squared away on the COVID-19, except for the masks. I would just go ahead and not change anything, and I will call the chief judge and see if she thinks. Have we had any people come through there with a fever or any? Nobody, okay.
No, and people have been great about wearing masks. And all we do is tell them that we ask people to wear masks, and I'd say everyone's wearing a mask. And a lot are coming in with masks, so.
I don't know, what do you guys think? Leave another week?
Well, our cases haven't really increased in Des Moines County, so I'll go either way, whether we lift it or
week. I don't see not up or staff for them.
So. I know. Go ahead.
I'd go ahead and lift it and see how things go.
Well, let's talk to the chief judge before we do that. See what, if you guys don't mind, let me talk to her.
That'd be fine.
And see what she's got to say. Yeah. Anything I don't want to, we've got the, they let us open our court proceedings a little early, and
they have a mask on when they come in here.
I think you could probably just put up a, I've been in some places where they've got the questions. Mm-hmm. I was in a bank a couple days ago, and anyway, they've got the questions there. Is any of you had a last, had a fever, blah, 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 blah. And, if you answer yes to any of these, please don't come in.
Have the instances of cold and flu gone down?
No, not really, but we haven't seen, it's not the usual time of year that we see a lot of cold and flu, so.
So overall health, we're not helping them any.
As far as sleep.
Getting sick.
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly, it's not a very strong time of year that we do see a lot of the flu, so we've not seen much of that, so I don't know if that's a tribute. Would this have been a year that we would have seen flu earlier? I don't know. Maybe the masks are helping. But generally we don't see much flu this time of the year. It's usually not until we get into at least September. October is really where it kind of starts uptaking. That's the reason we start the flu vaccines in September, October, because it takes 2 weeks for the antibodies to build up, so.
It doesn't put you in any sort of a bind to have somebody down there for another week?
No, I think we should be fine. I think that, you know, I've got one gal who's going on vacation for a day on Friday. We'll have to look and see if I can get someone to replace her, but that would be, you know, they're taking a couple of Fridays off, so we'll see what we can do there.
No sense having somebody down there full-time just to say hi to people.
I think you're a good idea of seeing what the chief justice said.
But well, this is, I know that was a.
Gentlemen, I do know in the report that I've been reviewing, it sounds as though the courts, once we begin jury trials, someone from the courts will have to be doing screenings for any place where they're going into a courtroom.
The court's going to do that?
It indicates, yeah, that it will be. Well, it doesn't really, it just recommends that someone be screened. So I would encourage you to talk to the chief judge to see if we can work something out. The problem that we have is we have courtrooms on the first floor, second floor, and third floor. And sometimes they may all be going all on at the same time. So, yeah, I think talking to the chief judge about where we would need to be doing this. But at some point, when we're doing jury trials, my guess is, this is again just the recommendation report, but I'm guessing the Supreme Court will follow it, is that anyone going into a courtroom is going to have to be screened.
Okay. What days do they have juries?
We don't know what the new schedule is going to be yet.
Okay. What, didn't they just have them on Tuesdays?
They generally begin on Tuesdays. And that's for district court. Associate court is generally on Wednesdays, but given the length of the lists, because everybody's been continued kind of indefinitely, we anticipate we will be, at least in district court, Tuesday and Thursday almost every week.
Thank you, Lisa.
I might have to have somebody screening all the time.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, it was.
Sure.
Anyway, I'll talk to the chief judge and get some input from her, and we'll discuss this further next Tuesday. Correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I have none.
Yeah. We've got another permit modification from American Ordnance. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a permit change for the EPA hazardous waste management permit out of the American Ordnance IAAP, and they're changing job descriptions for employees working with hazardous waste. So anybody has any questions or is interested in this permit modification, this will be on file in the auditor's office and available for review either in person or electronically. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $514,092.85.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution and final plat for the 8th edition to the Wildlife Lakes subdivision.
Yes, so
this is Jared.
I'll just give a brief summary. I give you a packet with some information since this is a larger subdivision that had gone through several phases to get here. So first of all, there was a preliminary plat approved for the 8th edition last November. This is actually only including 5 of the 10 lots that were included on that preliminary plat. Under our ordinance requirements, the developer would need to submit a second plat for the remaining 5 lots within 2 years of the preliminary plat approval, so basically a year and a half from now, has opted to do so. So the five lots to be included in this eighth edition. Four of them are located, would be accessed from interior private subdivision roads, Wood Duck Cove Drive and Wildlife Lakes Drive, while the fifth would be accessed from 137th, the county road, accessing the landfill on the other side of the lake. As part of the final plat review, staff, Zach James and myself, visited the site last month, did a little tour of the lots included with this development. All those lots have been staked out and identified. Infrastructure has been installed. For the most part, it's utilizing existing infrastructure served the lots on the opposite side of the street in each case. However, there was one new sanitary line reroute last year that we observed as was previously discussed. So everything seemed consistent with what we had were aware of for the infrastructure to serve this subdivision. So lots 29 and 31 would be accessed from Wildlife Lakes Drive, 32, 33 from Wood Duck Cove Drive, and then 38 from 137th. This subdivision had been reviewed by the city of West Burlington. It's in their 2-mile review area. Their council had just approved it last week on recommendation of their Planning and Zoning Commission. And then our Zoning Commission met mid-June to discuss that, and it was also recommended for approval based on observations presented. In terms of the comments received, nothing really significant overall. One from Health Department, just wanted to confirm that all lots have access to utility easements, which they do, and also the secondary roads indicating that access would need to be from the interior subdivision roads and not from that county right away on the north side. And that comment had been submitted previously in the preliminary plat as well, and that I believe has been the intention of the developer all along, to even though there would be frontage on that side, access would be entirely from the subdivision roads, as Elk Run Drive already has a alternate access out to that county road to the east. And actually, as part of this subdivision, the platted right-of-way for Wildlife Lakes Drive from Elk Run up to that county road right-of-way would be vacated and split between lot 29 of this subdivision and then lot 28 of a previous addition. In terms of public input, we did have one neighboring property owner that had some concerns about drainage, surface drainage, as well as sanitary. That was the one where the sanitary drain had been rerouted around to a different outlet to the lake. The concerns about, on further evaluation, the concerns about the drainage appear to be related to a few major rain events last year, which appear to have been pretty exceptional in the sense that no matter where you were in the Burlington area, you had significant impact both from the heavy rainfall at that time as well as over the previous week and how the ground was saturated from all that precipitation. So the further investigation, we determined that the infrastructure of this subdivision does seem sufficient to support the development as proposed, and those conditions that were observed would not be unique to this subdivision, merely to the fact that there was significant impacts of that rain event last year. In terms of the resolution I have here, the Zoning Commission, upon approval, recommendation of approval of the subdivision, we had recommended including some conditions, which they did. A couple of these are simply retaining language of earlier plats, which involved land on the opposite side of the street. But since the same streets are involved here, we feel appropriate to include those as well, indicating that some of the requirements would be waived, specifically the road right-of-way for Wood Duck Cove Drive would allow for 50 feet instead of 66, and the road surface for both of those roads would be allowed at 18 feet paved concrete instead of the minimum required 22. And then finally, we just included that provision related to the requirement of the Secondary Roads Department that access would need to come from those interior subdivision roads, not from the county road to the north. With that, we would recommend approval of the 8th edition of Wildlife Lakes subdivision. Unless you have any further questions?
I move to approve.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Terry.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Can I ask a question? Brian, that road that's on the north end of that, that little gravel road, just, it's not a gravel, is that at sea level?
No, it's a 66-foot road that just the previous county engineer, probably back in the 80s if I had to guess, when he was also the landfill engineer, I think probably used suspect judgment and stuck a county road there and never developed it, never did anything with it. But then that subdivision developed and they always looked at that as an access even though it wasn't developed. So we've come along and done some what I would call minimal improvements, but enough to make it so at least a portion of it is surfaced and at least accessible. I wouldn't call it the widest road or anything like that, but it's got a base if fire department need to get in or something like that. So I guess I'd call it an open A-level gravel road, but really the west third or half of it is really treated like a dirt road. We don't surface it, and that's the portion that I won't let them have access to because we have no intentions of upgrading it. Bluntly, we don't really want it to start with.
Yeah. So. Does that right away then go all the way back to 142nd?
It dead ends. Once you go west there, you get back there, there's a fence line and there's typically some bales, hay bales there or something. That's the end of the road right away. It just, the engineer took it because the Bolins didn't want anything to do with it at the time. The engineer took all the right of way off of the landfill property.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's one of the rare instances where it's not actually half and half. The right of way actually came off of all landfill property, and that's a bit of the history there, I guess. But no, it does dead end back there where the fence is.
But that's the access from that subdivision.
No.
Or is it that cement road goes all around?
Yeah, they've got concrete all the way down in the sub. That's why I put the stipulations in that I did, because they all have access to that subdivision road, and that's the road they need to use. There's two houses that were developed as yet another a couple of years ago, split to that subdivision or addition or whatever you want to call it. They have exclusive access to the rock road. They do not have access to the paved road that Bolin has developed in that. So they use that hill. And so if you're ever out there, you'll know pretty quick where that begins and ends, because from that driveway on is just 2-inch rock for a couple 100 feet till it gets to that driveway, because of fire protection, the possibility of a fire truck needing to be able to come all the way through instead of doing a turnaround.
I think you took us out there and showed us that.
I think I have probably at some point. I mean, this subject has come up a number of times in about probably 5 years and longer than that. So we maintain the hill more or less a bit more like a regular gravel road, but there's only one or two houses there, and so it doesn't take a whole lot. I mean, it's not wide. I don't know if you want to meet anybody, but there's, without doing some significant dirt work, there's not going to be a lot of change there. So, I don't know. It's not ideal, but it's not one we created. We're just dealing with it.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
We have department letters of cash on hand. How about we all run through these, and then we can approve them all in one motion. The auditors has $70 worth of cash on hand, and the contents of the safe are assorted rings and money from lost and found, $139.48. County Attorney, $110.31. County Assessor has $15. Conservation has $25. GIS has $25. Public Health has $16.81. That's a council receipt. Secondary Roads has $94.29 with receipts of $55.71. And the Sheriff's Department has $200 on hand, and for the Special Investigation Fund, $200.
Move to approve all of them.
Second.
Thank you. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. To what stamp those afterwards too. We have personnel actions. We have two personnel actions for the correctional center. We have Holly Carpenter, a full-time correctional officer, a new hire, rate of $38,706.18. And Hillary May, full-time correctional officer, an 18-month step increase. Previous rate was $40,707.69. The new rate is $41,608.23.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Personnel action from conservation. Ryan Roth, a park ranger, a new hire at $40,929.66.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have two personnel actions from the county attorney. We have Tammy Anderson, a collections clerk, is a return to full-time from COVID-19 furlough. And Roberta Ford, returned to full-time from COVID-19 furlough.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have the auditor's report of fees collected for the quarter ending June 30th, 2020. We have general assistance monthly report for June 2020. We have the jail statistics for May 2020. And the recorder's report of fees collected for June 2020. These reports will be on file and available for public review at the auditor's office, either in person or electronically. We have minutes for the regular meeting of June 30th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items.
Is that when you want the work session with the county attorney?
I don't think we need one. She said that for that service fee wouldn't affect us. And unless we hear something that, you know, that there's a problem with one of those ordinances, and it doesn't seem to be, we can relook at it.
So, we was gonna review that UTV thing sometimes.
The what?
The ATV, UTV ordinance.
Yeah, we're still...
We're gonna review that and see how it goes. You know, everything's been going good on it. No, I don't see any reason we should look at it for a while.
Gentlemen, I can review the ordinances, and if I think there is a need to meet to discuss any of them, I could just call Terry and have it set as an agenda item for a work session. How does that sound?
That would be great. That would be great. Thank you, Lisa. And if we did want to, we might want to wait till we weren't social distance so people could get in here. Committee reports.
I attended a conservation meeting, which you heard Chris talk, so that's about it.
I been on this regional workforce meeting Friday, and the Title I went to, RFP went to ResCare, and SCC is... got the title two on the youth, but they're going to do some review on this. SCC has always been the Title I, you know, for adult and dislocated workers. And they did a point system on it, and there was just 1 point difference between the two, but the committee awarded it not to SCC. So they're in the process of just kind of reviewing it. So it has nothing to do with what the CEO board has no vote on that. It's all the committees that between the eight counties now. So I'll keep you informed on what happens there. Okay. We don't know for sure.
Thank you. I attended a meeting. They have a delegation from the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health and Disability Services Region met with a delegation from Great River Medical Center to, we're curious about them, you know, starting to provide one of the core services, what, 23-hour observation and holding?
Yep.
Anyway, that we think that they would be ideally suited for, and so, good conversation.
Doing the behavioral health assessment team, and it would switch to 23-hour observation and holding. And right now, the region has to pay 100% of the BHAT team. Where if we could get this switch to 23-hour observation, it'd be a combination of region funds and Medicaid. So we'd have two funding sources, and it'd be a little more stable program looking forward, I think.
Yes, and we would. Not be using property tax, Medicaid funds, whatever the state pays out of that total. The feds pay 65%, I believe, or just about 65%. So if there's $100, the feds would pay $65, the state would pay $45, or $35, and none of it would come out of your property taxes. So if we can have make it a Medicaid funded service. That would be a good deal for Duane County.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. That's all I had. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to make a comment or a question for the board, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203. 753-8203, extension 4, and we will give anyone 2 minutes to send an email or dial that number if they've got a comment they would like to make. Is there anybody in the room that would like to?
You know, Andrew, you being a dog person, I see there's a lot of lost dogs advertised here in the last week and a half, 2 weeks from these fireworks running off.
Fireworks are horrible. Yeah. I wish people would pay attention and be real careful with their dogs at that time. Mine, we live close enough to the ordnance plant, they hear that stuff going off all the time, it doesn't faze them. But, you know, most dogs are not, loud noises will freak them out, so.
One of my neighbors set off a batch of firecrackers, must have ladyfingers, must have been a roll this big around. I swear that thing went off for 5 minutes.
Well, we had a neighbor in our neighborhood, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before, we're shooting them off at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, really?
I didn't hear a whole lot out at my house, but they said in town it was just crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Then they got up next morning, Monday morning, left vacation.
Probably a good idea, huh?
Yeah.
So did anyone get to experience the mayflies? I just saw videos of it.
I saw pictures of them. No.
I purposely did not leave my house until I was pretty sure they were all like dead.
Oh, it looked like they had a foot of them on the ground down at the riverfront.
Again.
I mean, just mounds of them.
Bradley had a video of it. He saw it on Facebook and came down here, and you could hardly see the gas station across the road. And then that next morning they came in early and was using a bucket to remove all the pond.
Yeah, because it gets real slick.
Yeah.
I can remember as a kid them having to down River Road in Keokuk, they'd have to take snow blades and clear it because it was so slick.
I remember the road.
And we haven't had that for years, but I think it's because the river has stayed pretty level. I mean, it's higher, but it stayed pretty level this year. And yeah, it was crazy.
Well, since there's no public input, with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We are adjourned.